Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, they say the clock is ticking for the righteous and the wicked. We all gotta get right with y'all. Do it now before it's too late. Huh? Let's go.
Do it now, cause we ain't got time to wait. Get right
time
with the Most High, don't procrastinate.
Don't
if you wait until tomorrow, it might be too late. You
be.
Never know when
yeah.
the day is gonna
know.
Be judgment day. So do it now,
don't hesitate.
Pick up the pace,
keep
going against the clock. And the clock is winning the
it's
race
winning.
And I know you heard
know you
that
heard.
It's never too late
never.
But that's a lie, cause it's the deadline that we gotta face.
Judgment
day's only done by the righteous one. Yahweh, and it ain't no man that don't sin is none.
Never.
So turn back to Yahweh while he is near. Cause when he gone, you gon' be stuck in your deepest fears. I'm trying to be upright and stay away from them down
ones.
Who when y'all call, they
wicked
giving
doors.
Him the down tone. And I call on Yahweh the spirit that you want.
And I gladly say,
Yahweh never left me alone.
Never.
And he never condoned.
He never.
To them phonies trying to claim the storm. Yahweh eternal,
that could never be a clone.
The bottom is fit to stay home. But when they learn that they will burn eternally if they don't turn, do it now. Cause we ain't got time to wait. Get right with the Most High. Don't procrastinate.
Don't do
if you wait until tomorrow, it might be too late.
It
you never
be.
Know when the day is gonna
know.
Be judgment day. So do it now. Cause we ain't got time to
ain't
wait.
No time
get right
wait.
With the Most High. Don't procrastinate.
Right.
If you wait until tomorrow, it might
wait.
Be too late.
Might be
you
too
never
late.
Know.
And I'm going to open up the airwaves tonight and allow all of our beautiful brothers and sisters to call in and speak on whatsoever subject they wish, as long as it's relevant to salvation. And we're going to allow our brothers and sisters to ask any question that they wish. But I'm going to speak a little bit on the subject of murder. What is murder? We find in the book of Genesis, it starts off in the book of Genesis, the ninth chapter. I'm going to speak, and you can call in when you want, and we'll let our brothers and sisters come in the airways, because this is your night. To such a dearly strong, beloved brother, General Kabaka Abba, we're going to open up the airways for you. It is your night to exalt the Creator and speak on His truth as it relates to our subject matter. According to the book of Genesis, the ninth chapter, notice what it says, starting at the third verse. We're going to read the third verse to the sixth verse.
Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things.
Right here, the Creator states what He has given to our people for food. And He tells us that every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herbs have I given you all things. Yes, in the beginning, man had the dietary law that he could eat any animal. But since that, the Creator pulled out a chosen people unto Himself, which is the house of Israel. And He gave them a particular dietary law, and He told the nation of Israel to teach this law to the nation. If you hold your page for a minute and then go to the book of Leviticus, if we go there to Leviticus, the 21st chapter, we just want to go there for a moment so you can understand the significance of what we're saying. We want to read that first verse for me.
And Yah said unto Moses, speak unto the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say unto them, there shall none be defiled for the dead amongst his people.
Before, right, I wanted you to get that. I wanted you to understand that before we started reading again in the book of Genesis. Because we're going to go back to that, because Yah does not want any of his people defiled by the dead.
every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you.
We're in Genesis 9 and 3. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you.
Even as the green herb have I given you all things,
mm-hmm.
but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require
it. In other words, he said, even though I gave you all these animals that you could eat, he tells mankind, even then, that they are not to eat the blood of any animal. Then he goes on.
And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man. At the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of Elohim made he man.
Now notice what it's saying, starting at the fourth verse. The Creator states specifically why he doesn't want us to eat any blood. Right then, even though the scientists did not find out until many centuries later that blood has a lot of microscopic organs in it, that is the essence of life itself. But here the Creator reveals to his people that I don't want you to eat blood, and he lets you know why. He said, for flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood, therefore ye shall not eat. Why? Because the Creator knew that any disease at all that the animal has, when you eat its blood, you would receive it. And if this beast was a wild beast and you're eating the blood, then that would contaminate your spirit. So the Creator goes on and said, and surely your blood of your lives will I require it. At the hands of every beast will I require it. In other words, anybody that shed blood, the Almighty is going to require their blood. And if an animal kill a person, I will require the blood of that beast will I require it. And at the hands of man, at the hands of every man's brother will I require the life of blood. The life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of Elohim made he man. Here the Creator comes right out. It's more specific than it is in any other book. You might read the New Testament and you might read where you don't murder. But you don't know what murdering is. You could believe that murdering is committing adultery or stealing if it's never defined. But our Creator defines it because he incorporated this hideous crime within the confines of his law. So therefore, once we look at the law, the Ten Commandments that are written in the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter, notice what it says. It doesn't define murder at this time, but it lets you know that whatever murder is something that is an abomination and something that would require the murderer to be put to death for. Notice what he says in the 13th verse.
Thou shalt not murder.
Thou shalt not murder. In many of your books it says thou shalt not kill, but that's not the original Hebrew translation. There's a difference between killing and murdering. Kill is when you take a life. Murder is when you take an innocent life. And the Almighty will define what an innocent life is. Not like the Quran where it says, just don't kill a believer. Right here, the Creator lets you know that anybody that kills any man, that murders any man, and takes that innocent life of any man, is guilty of murder. And he will define this. But here in the commandments, the original commandment here is not thou shalt not kill, but thou shalt not murder. But then the Creator begins to define this hideous crime in the 21st chapter of Exodus. He says in the 12th through the 14th verse,
he that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. And if a man lie not in wait, but Elohim deliver him into his hand. Then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee.
In other words, if you kill a man and you didn't lie in wait, but it was an accident, there was a place that you could go called a city of refuge. And that was a creator would point you at a place where you could go, because whoever killed an innocent person, they had a lot of angry people about the streets, and he didn't want that person to kill someone accidentally to be struck down through anger. But it goes on.
But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile.
To slay him with guile, to slay him with hatred, to slay him because he has animosity in his heart toward him. And it come upon a man to slay him with guile.
Thou shalt take him from my altar.
The Creator said, you shall take that man from my altar. He's not worthy to be in my house. He shall die.
And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death.
So the Creator here defines what murder is. And murder is when you just come upon a person with guile in your heart, with malice, with hatred, and you take his life. Also, if we look in the book of Leviticus, the 24th chapter. The 24th chapter of Leviticus. And we're going to read the 17th verse.
And he that killeth any man shall be surely put to death.
All right, so the Creator here is speaking of killing. Now, Brother General Kumaka was not any man. He was a man that stood out for his people, where many of you all were consuming yourselves and watching football all day, when a boy drinking with the boys beer all night. Brother Kabaka was down in the courthouse every time there was a city council meeting. Whether it was televised or not, he was there pleading the cause of his people, pleading the cause of the poor, pleading the cause of the widow and the fatherless, pleading the cause of him that was not able or strong enough to plead his own cause. And this is exactly what the Creator told us to do. If we go to the book of Isaiah, the first chapter, here the Creator pleads with us as men and women of Israel. The Creator says here, we're starting the first verse so everybody can get a good understanding of everything that's being said.
The visions of Isaiah the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Yehuda and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Yehuda. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for Yah hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me.
In other words, the Creator brought us up under his laws and under his commandments, which are the most just commandments on the face of this earth. These were commandments and laws that taught us togetherness, that taught us to help each other, that taught us to unite with one another. As a matter of fact, the Almighty's books and his laws are the only book and the only book of laws on the face of this earth that tells our people that it's incumbent upon them to unite, that it is a commandment for them to unite and love one another and love their neighbor as himself. The only one. The other books teaches us to love our enemies, teaches us to love our former slave masters. Sleep teaches us to love a person of another nation that speaks another language and wears a turban on his head, but doesn't teach us to love one another. The Almighty's book did. And today our people are suffering, and they're suffering miserably all around the world, especially in the United States, because of the lack of love they have toward one another. That's the reason other people are able to come in through Mexico and unite and take your jobs, which we will speak on in a letter, a later date. We will speak on this matter very extensively. But we are people that rebelled against these laws. The laws that the other nations seen and read about and studied it and applied it in their life. That's when they teach so much togetherness in the other nations. But we have rebelled against the laws of our Creator.
The ox knoweth his owner.
The Creator lets us know that two of the animals that you might consider the most dumbest animals on the face of the earth, he lets them know that they're smarter than you, Mr. and Mrs. Negro. The Creator said, an ox knoweth his owner, and an ass, a jackass, know his master's crib. He knows where his master's lay at. But then the Creator says, but Israel does not know. My people does not consider. Our people don't consider why they got their, why they are now having their former slave masters' names. When they call themselves Thomas and Smith and Muhammad and Abdullah, they don't know that these names were the names of our former masters, our former slave masters. Little do they realize that these names are not the name of our foreparents. They don't consider the fact that every other nation is able to come to America today and unite for the common good of that nation but us, because we have rebelled against the Creator. We don't consider the fact that most of our people are going to end up being unemployed in just a couple years if they're not already unemployed because of circumstances that I'll speak on later pertaining to other so-called aliens coming to America. I said so-called because according to reality, there's only one illegal alien in America, and that's the white man. Not the Indians, not the Hispanic people, not the Mexicans. They are not illegal aliens. This land was theirs. This land belonged to the Indians. And the people you know of today as Spanish were actual Indians that many of their parents and ancestors were raped by the Spanish. And now they're Spanish and Indian blood, and they call them Mexicans, which means mixed people. That's who they are today. But many of us don't consider these facts. The Almighty said, our people does not consider. It's all right not to know, because oftentimes we don't know certain things, but it's a crime when we don't even consider.
A sinful nation.
The Creator calls us a sinful nation.
A people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken Yah. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backwards. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint.
The Almighty letting us know the condition of our people today. But let's expedite this. Let's go right to verse 10 and start reading there.
Hear the word of Yah, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our Elohim, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith Yah? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and of the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks.
Here the Creator lets us know that he don't want our sacrifices. A lot of people that are ignorant toward the laws of the Most High think that sacrifices and offerings were something that was mandatory. They thought it was compulsion that you had to bring these things, but it is not. Here the Creator lets us know that these things were brought to him by us, but he don't want it, because sacrifices and offerings were only accepted when a man came with a willing heart and with a desire to turn from his wickedness. Then we made an offering to the Creator, and it's just what it sounds like. It was an offering. Nobody had a gun to you. You offered up and made sacrifices But the sacrifices that we were offering to the Creator were not based on sincerity. They were not based on any sincerity on our behalf at all. So the Creator said, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices? Unto me, said Yah, I'm full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of the bullocks or the lambs or he-goats. And when ye come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand to thread my courts? Then he said, bring no more vain oblations, because it's vain if it's not giving in sincerity. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meetings. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are trouble unto me. I'm weary to bear them. Then the Creator says, and when you spread forth your hands to pray, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Then he tells us what's necessary to come before him. He said, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well. And this is what I honor about Brother Kabaka. We met on this radio show here, Truth for Traditions. And we both became very close friends because we both loved truth. And he loved the truth that I was speaking, and I loved the truth that he was speaking. I was an Israelite, and he was a Muslim, but he was not afraid to tell the truth. He was very courageous and very strong, even in the light of many people criticizing him for acknowledging the truth that he heard on this show. He still was willing to be criticized and ostracized because he stood for truth. And this is what the Creator wanted. He said, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. The brother quit running the street and doing evil, which he admitted that he used to do. And he put evil from the midst of him. And he dedicated his life to helping others, to going down the courthouse, to marching and picking and being up late at night, doing things for the sake of his community because he loved his people, even though the people that he was fighting for and standing up for often criticized him. And they would align themselves with people that didn't do nothing for our people at all, have no record of helping any oppressed or afflicted person, but only greasing their own pockets with money. Money, money. And many of us put these men before our beloved brother. Then the Creator says, learn to do well. Seek judgment. And this is what this brother did. He sought judgment, and what he began to learn, he began to practice. He called me up and said, brother, I'm a Muslim, but brother Alicia, you're the one that I consider my minister. And he said many times on this show that he considered me the minister of Cincinnati. That was his opinion. That's the way he felt. But he told me that I was his personal minister because I wasn't afraid to tell him the truth. And he was a man of truth. A man that loved the truth and didn't run from it. And times when he was mistaken, he came right to the forefront and said, I was wrong, and I acknowledge this, and now I can say this, and people get mad at him. They said, brother, you shouldn't be agreeing with Brother Alicia. And I got one tape I was listening to on the way to the station where he said, I'm not agreeing with Brother Alicia. Truth is universal. Truth has always been here. Truth does not belong to one man. Truth is something we find and nourish it, and we pass it on. It don't belong to you. And it doesn't. But here, notice this 16th verse again. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doing, which majority of our people are not doing. cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, and plead for the widow. And brother, General Kabaka, we at the House of Israel tip our hat to you, because you stood for that and you did that. Come and let us reason together, said Yahweh. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of Yahweh hath spoken it. And those are the words of the Creator. And then when I examine these things the Creator wants us to do, I think of my dearly beloved brother, Kabaka. Furthermore, when I look in the book of Proverbs, the 28th chapter, it stands out to me because in the book of Proverbs, the 28th chapter, it says, 29th chapter, rather, Proverbs, the 7th verse.
The righteous considereth the cause of the poor.
Notice, he didn't say the greedy. Those are trying to make a big name, and those are just trying to make a bunch of money considered as cause of the poor, because they don't. The poor are just something, somebody to be victimized by them, to be tricked by them. But the scripture said the righteous considers the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. He doesn't concern himself with it. The other day, before I go to my network and the brothers that calling in, I would like to say that the other day I happened to listen to another station that was ran by some racists. Or should I say they at least got racist disc jockeys working there, like Bill Cunningham. And I was appalled when I seen so-called black men on that station, a white station, that all I hear them do is talking about blacks, downing blacks, ridiculing blacks, loving to see the black man down. I see so-called black men on that station talking about other black men. Black men that those people at that station, such as Bill Cunningham and them, hate because he stands up. And they were just all laughing about a black man that had fought against some of the foolishness that they taught at that station. Surely they would want him to be dead. Well, and I think the people in Cincinnati need to stand up and do something if they want to save the black community. They need to cry out and start doing something as our brother did. Because right now, just like when my brother was shot, the prosecutor, Joe Dietas, who was a friend of one of the lawyers that was representing one of the victims, though the man was shot several times, ambushed and shot, Joe Dietas had the audacity to charge it with felonious assault. Felonious assault instead of what it was. And that was attempted murder. And now it is murder because our brother is dead. And I hope they find another prosecutor that's not in cahoots with any of the lawyers in this city and have them on this case. Because what we're seeing thus far from the action of the prosecutor, one would suspect that they won't get any justice at all. No wonder men don't mind in broad daylight grabbing a high-powered weapon, shooting down another black man and right at the city hall. Don't mind at all, because they know that when they get to Joe Dietas, instead of being prosecuted, they'll be under-prosecuted. This man has a history of the racism that he used to practice before when he was a prosecutor. And now we have so-called lawyers are supposed to stand up for our people, helping them to get in office again. and makes a wise man wonder done it. But right now I'm going right to my airways and talk to some of the brothers and sisters that's calling in. But to everybody else, you're able to call in and talk about anything you wish, any questions, period, you wish pertaining to the scriptures and pertaining to our conversation. And we're ready to hear your input. We want to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. But right now we're going to a sister named Sister Rebecca. Shalom.
Shalom, Brother Alicia. First, I would like to ask you to let your brother that reads the scriptures for you to read Psalms 133, if you don't mind.
No, I don't mind at all.
Thank
Psalms
you.
Psalms 133.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And you want him to read any particular verse, or you want him
no,
to read the
just,
whole?
No, just read the whole scripture.
Psalms 133.
Yes, sir.
Yes, he's going to read it. This is one of my favorite anyway.
Mine too.
Behold.
Turn down your radio system. I'm getting a strong backlight.
Okay.
Then.
Okay.
All right.
Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there Yah commanded the blessings, even life forevermore.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
That's good. That's one of my favorite ones, and that's one of the reasons that we as a people are not prospering, because here our Creator tells us that He considered this one of the most beautiful things on earth by His great servant David, said, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
That's the key word, unity.
Yes, yes, our Creator all
through. And it is just unfortunate that we cannot all come together on the unity of truth. Not ideologies, not what you think, not what I think, what you believe, but on truth, because truth stands alone. So I would just like if you would give me a moment to speak about General Kabaka.
Go ahead.
I remember when he was a young brother, when I first met him, and he was becoming very acquainted with Miss Sister Ibiba and Brother James Hardy, which is known as the Unity Man. And it was me and Sister Dorothy and Sister Fatima, and all of us were coming together to try to come up with ideas to unite the community and do things in the community to uplift our community. And Sister Habiba and Brother Unity Man, which is Abdul, and Abba, they used to do, you know, come together and organize and do a lot of things down in the West End on Wade Street in the Wade Street Park. I know you remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
This was a young brother at that time, always seeking for knowledge. And I recall when he first came around how green he appeared.
Let's stop for a minute. You got too much noise in your house from something.
Yes, sir. How green. Can you hear me now?
Yes, but cut down whatever it is.
Right, that was my phone ringing. I'm sorry. How green he was seeking for knowledge. But his heart was in the right place, and he truly developed a strong love for his people and for thirsting for knowledge, seeking knowledge, so he would know what direction to go in to be in this day of war, revolution, trying to acquire our people's rise. And so as years went on, he became a militant brother, but still, truth make you militant because it makes you want to stand up against falsism and against wrong. And I do not know how in the world anyone could let the thought that this brother was evil in any way enter into their mind. All he wanted to do, and he was focused on it diligently, was to speak on behalf of the brutality, the neglect, the racial profiling of the Cincinnati Police Department on his people, and especially black men in Cincinnati. He had a passion for that, though he did other things such as protests about the
Well, we lost your sister. I don't know what happened, but we lost you, unfortunately. Call back, and I'll put you back on. Sister Rebecca, we lost you somehow, but I hope you call back so we can talk with you a little more, because you hadn't finished. And I'm sorry somehow you were cut off, but I got a line open for you to call back if you can. Until then, we're going right to Brother Shannon. Shalom.
Shalom, my brother. Thank you for taking my call. And I first want to say to the Creator be all of the glory. And as always, I appreciate you. Often I'm not around, and I'm grateful you're still with us and you're giving us this. Because, you know, you've always taught it, and you've always known it, and we learn it. The truth stands on its own. It doesn't have to be propped up. It doesn't have to be played with. The truth is, it doesn't have to have all these things to try to validate it, because the truth does come from the Creator, and the Creator is the truth, and I appreciate that. One of the things that really comes to my mind, and this is a weighted time, it's troubling, but we understand that this evil that's out here is just what it is. They can say what they want, but the truth is the truth. Our brother, he's one of the few, Brother Kabaka, who did not take money.
That's true. He did not.
But he would share what he had with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this for a fact. He always stood up for the people. And he wasn't taking no money under the table to sell nobody out. And all those who served this devil, they can't look in themselves in the eyes and in the mirror and ask themselves, what did I take to murder my own people? And, you know, they can all. And one of the things that you said, and I thought about this the other day, it reminds me when some of the other brothers, like Timothy Thomas and so forth, were brutally murdered.
Yes.
There seemed to be this great chorus line, like everybody was given a script in advance or right after the murder took place so they could all read from the same script. And yet still they want to try to say, this just happened. Well, while you're reading from the same script, you've already validated. Your hands are not clean. So what we have to do, and I appreciate, my brother, what you've given us, and I've always appreciated what you do for us. There's not many people willing to tell the truth. And I know they think that tomorrow morning they can go in a devil worship ceremony. They devil cannot exonerate them for what they've done. They know who they are. But today you murdered my brother is the day you murdered your own. To the Creator be all the glory. And I say that we didn't do it. They did it themselves, to themselves. And thank you, my brother.
You're welcome. Hallelujah. We got our lines full, but before we go anyone else, we're going to go right back to Sister Rebecca so she can finish what she was saying. Sister Rebecca.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. You know, I said loose here to Satan because this needs to be said and it's going to be said. And I appreciate you allowing me to come back on. However, where I left off is that this brother was always one who was seeking knowledge. And his focus and his passion was to speak out. His main passion was to speak out against the injustice to all of us in Cincinnati by picketing and protesting different events downtown and different businesses, if you want to say, or different organizations. It was just to say, how can the Cincinnati government portray Cincinnati as a beautiful place to live with a lot of things going on when right outside the door of City Hall is injustice going on? People are starving. People are without jobs. The youth are just idle and displaced because they have nowhere to go, no jobs to offer them in the summertime. They are just idle-minded, and so therefore they are prone to do things that are disgraceful, such as killing themselves and selling drugs and being out on the street all night because they really are so displaced and have nowhere to go. And then that causes them to be racially profiled and disrespected on the street by the police department. And then
right.
When
won't you hurry up, sister, because I got a lot of other sisters and brothers that want to say something.
Yes, sir. And so my point was is that no one in this city should be thinking ill of Brother Kabaka for no reason, because if they don't know, let it be shared tonight that everything that brother did, his passion was to bring justice for all of us in the city, and especially the black male and the youth. And no one should be thinking in their mind, regardless if they did not agree with his methodology, that it was justified for him to be murdered, as you said. He was not killed. He was murdered as an innocent lamb. And today is 4/15/2006, and if you add up the numbers, you would get 18. 8 and 1 is 9. 9 means completion. But with the scripture that I asked you to read, those numbers add up to 7. 7 and 9 is 16, and 7 is God's number. So today brought judgment on all of us, and you must determine which side of the line you stand on. That brother was a great, great brother in as much as he was one of ours, and he did what he thought was a good deed, and he was well done, and I'm sure he is being well pleased in the eyes of our forefathers.
All right.
Thank you, brother.
You're welcome.
Peace.
And in the relationship, thank you, peace.
Yes.
And in relationship to what you said, Sister Rebecca and Brother Shannon, there's a verse because he did hate. A lot of people thought that he was a militant, and he was. He was very militant. They thought he was an extremist, and he was. He was very extreme. And I am, too, about that which I love. And he loved his people. Notice what the Creator said in the book of Proverbs, the 8th chapter, the 13th verse. It says, the fear of Yahweh is to hate evil and pride and arrogance and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. In other words, you can't love Yah if you don't hate evil. People that go around seeing the wickedness that's being practiced in City Hall and seeing the wickedness that's being brought out in the streets of our city and throughout America and don't try to do anything about it, don't try to change it, don't try to speak out against it, then you must love evil. Because if you were part of the Almighty's program, you would hate evil. And the fear of Yah is to hate evil. How can you fear Yah and not hate evil? And if you hate evil, you're going to try to do something about it, as our brother did, and not go along with the status quo, as many of them are doing, and putting these same people back in office. Hallelujah. I want to go right now to the black line, and then we're going to Brother Michael Rowley. But right now, Brother Michael Rowley first, right now. Yes, sir.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
You know how I feel about this. And, you know, it really is unique that they're trying to make it a personal vendetta between one another. But it wasn't that. Because I listened to the Cunningham station, and I was on the phone trying to get in, mainly because to get the truth out. First of all, Kabaka, I talked to him late last night, that night before, and, you know, he wanted me to come down and, you know, brothers to come down with him, and I couldn't. And, you know, and I really feel bad about it. I wish I could have come with him, but I had to babysit. But we understand they trying to say it was a personal vendetta that started when Kool Bug restaurant opened. They said, you know, because JR and Yvonne from Norwood was down there picking the bus. Howard Beatty, and I'm saying Howard Beatty, went up the street and got some drug dealers to jump on them. I was down there, and I couldn't stand no sisters getting jumped on by no drug dealers. So I started a fight, me and another little brother from Lincoln Heights. I do not know his name. We've got to fight until the sisters can get away. They came on the radio and said Kabaka was down there. I was the one down there. I'm the one that called the police. They try to say that started the feud. That's the damnedest lie I ever heard in my life. Then while I was down there, everything was over, Hyde came over to me and said, we going to get Kabaka. And George was standing right next to him. So, but they don't want me to tell this, because since I'm barred off the radio, black and white radio, they don't want me to tell that mess. You know, and this is what I'm saying. So we understand, why don't they want the truth coming out? Why all of a sudden they're saying it was just by accident a convicted felon walking around with a gun in his hand can come out and shoot in front of the city hall? Whose law officers around that way? I'm not saying what the lawyer's name is, but I let y'all look in the paper and see whose law office is on Elm Street, just a block away. And he also disappeared. And one of his members down there got
right, right a minute. We finished stop for news right now. News is coming on.
Okay.
And we wanted my not listening audience that we're going to take a news break, and then after that you can come to call 749-1230. Area code 513, and we're going to finish our conversation on the commandments of the Most High, and one of the subjects we're speaking on today is murder. Right now, we're going to stop, and we'll be right back. Shalom. Hey, Alicia Israel of the House of Israel, bring you truth or tradition. Tonight, we're dealing with the subject of murder, one of the commandments of the Most High. Thou shalt not murder. And we're talking about murder, and we are speaking on that subject, as well as honoring one of our dearly beloved brothers who used to be one of my best callers in the program when he was allowed to call the station. And his name was General Kabaka Abba. And we're giving our show today in tribute to this great brother. And we have some people on the line, and we're talking to Brother Michael Rowley. Yes, sir. Brother Rowley.
Yes, sir. Let me finish.
Yeah, you can finish what you were saying and then.
Okay, let me finish about the restaurant. While I'm down there fighting for the sisters down there that Howard and Junebug sent the dope dealers on, it was some brothers in that restaurant who were too scared to come out. And one of the brothers that we all think is the great black leader here is Pharaoh, Michael Burks. Another one was Donnie, the great football coach. They was too scared to come out and defend these sisters. There were some other brothers in there. And what really got me, Ken Lawson was down there right before it happened, and as soon as he left, it came down. And also we understand who was the big supporters of Junebug's restaurant down there in Howard. We got to deal with our ex-mayor, Charlie Lucan. He loved to come there down there. And I think he was down there earlier that day. Also, we got to deal with our police chief, Chief Stryker. He loved to go in there, too. So we understand, was this just a little thing between two men? No. It was deeper than that. It was deeper than the black business. Somebody say that we are black business. No. It had to do with the Cincinnati business community. He was boycotting this city, and he was the most visible person out there. Other people were. But he was up there standing for us as a people, and they had to do something with him. And the biggest thing that came off was during the last year's jazz festival. They barred him off the radio. And who jumped on his case was Ken Lawson, started it off. They talking about, we see him down there, we going to get him. That was Junebug or George Beatty. And this is how I came off the fact. And all the other activists, we are barred from the radio to speak. And you're the only program we're allowed to speak on. Because if we cannot get the word out, they can come with all of this crap. Also, I heard a rumor today, I don't know if it's true, they bought the other black station. So our limited knowledge, our limited way airways are gone. And this is going to be. You probably be the only station, only program we can call in now. And like I say, don't let this brother down, Vane. He stood for every last one of us. And like I'm saying, and I'm really upset about it. So like I say, we need more brothers like him. And like I say, don't let him die in vain. And that's all I can say.
All right, brother.
Thank you.
I appreciate your calling.
Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Right now I'm going to write to the Black Lion. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom, Elder. Greetings.
Shalom.
I'm going to make this very extremely brief. I'm just greatly, perplexed over this matter. We'd have lost a great brother in other time, and it's sad. It's very sad. And I was a good acquaintance of his, and I was also acquaintance of the individual who took his life. And I can't understand why. I ask myself over and over, and I still don't come up with an answer. It's sad. It's sad. We even lost two people because he's about to go to penitentiary for the rest of his life. It's over for him. So there's two black lives gone. And it's just sad. It's sad. I am greatly wounded and hurt. Peace. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. And yes, we at the House of Israel, we are very disturbed all around the world. This is a brother that supported truth every time it hurt it, even if it was against him. He acknowledged to me that it was a truth, and he ran with that truth. So he was very courageous, because you have to be courageous to accept the truth, to accept change. You have to be very strong and courageous to do that. And when we went to Washington a few years ago, the March on Washington, Brother General Kabaka was there with us, and he stood by my side as we marched through Washington. So he has always shown that he loves his people. He was strong. He wasn't afraid, and he loved his people. And I appreciate his people showing the love he has shown back to them. But right now we're going to go to others, and they want to join in and talk about anything whatsoever. Don't even have to talk on this subject. We can talk about anything pertaining to the scriptures that you want. Any question, any subject at all, just call 513-749-1230. That's 513-749-1230. We got a place for you to call in. But right now we're going to Sister Diane. Sister Diane.
Hello.
Hello.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
Yesterday, my son died. He had got paralyzed while in foster care from the neck down.
I'm sorry.
And his spine was severed, and his neck was broke. So this happened in 93. So for 13 years, he lived on tubes and a machine breathing for him. But in spite of that, Yahweh took him. And if he got injured at age 4 and was paralyzed from that time on, he was not able to talk, walk, commit sins, fornication, thievery. He wasn't able to do none of the sins. Do you think it's a remote possibility that he might be in the number of the 144,000, the men who have not had sex with women?
Well, you're quoting a verse out of the New Testament from the 7th, from the, I think that's the 14th chapter of Revelation. But I believe that I know that the Creator knows the heart of us, and he judges by our heart. So whether a man can speak or not, whether he's totally incapacitated, whether he's born deaf and dumb, whether he's born retarded, the Almighty knows his heart.
Yes.
And from what you say about your young boy, he has a good heart.
Yes.
And he has been sinned, no sin.
No. He's four years old. His name was David. And I found comfort by reading where David's son died by Bathsheba, how he was acting. And usually when a mother loses a child, she usually knows I had some feeling or a dream, but I had no feelings. Yesterday when my baby died of an aneurysm, brain aneurysm, I was in my house cleaning up my house, cooked turkey, dressing, and all of this stuff, not knowing my baby was dead. And, I don't know what to say, but I know I'm reassured that he's in the arms of a creator.
Let
I know that.
You.
Is that mean he's guaranteed, right?
Let me show you something in the book of Psalms 127.
Yes.
Here's the way the Creator feels about your son. In the book
yes.
of Psalms 127,
yes.
verse 3, it says, "Lo, children are an heritage of Yahweh, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." So right here, let me know that Yah has your son in his arms today.
And I believe that. I believe that. And I thank you, and I ask for your prayers, and I listen to you 24. Well, you know, all the time, I knew you when you were Curtis, okay? And I thank you, and shalom. Goodbye.
Shalom, shalom. Right now, we're going to go to another brother in our listening audience, Brother Levi. Shalom.
Shalom. Very interesting day today. Had a great Sabbath. You taught a great class, by the way. And then to hear after this Sabbath service that the Kabaka passed away, it was very troubling. Very, very shocked. You know, very strong brother, a brother that we did need in our community, and need in the sense of, you know, the young children. From what I've seen and heard, he was very good with the children. Always showed them attention, tried to help them out, and we very much need that, you know. And I just want to, I called to say that myself, and I hope a lot of other brothers, you know, we need to take it up a notch. You know, times are very critical, and something is very suspicious about the death, and if not, you know, whatever has happened, you know, we have to compensate. And I hope a lot of brothers that's been pondering on these things, whatever's been holding you up, hopefully this and other things that would transpire, this, it won't stop here. There's a lot of things happening in our society, and the brothers need to step up. And I just wanted to mention that. We need to compensate, and the more the better, because one strong brother, you know, is not here now. We have brothers like yourself, Felicia, and a lot of other brothers that are very strong and love their people. And it's time to just, you know, it's time to take it up a notch. It's very serious. And I just wanted to say that. You know, hopefully not only compensate, but, you know, multiply and grow and loving our people and recognizing we need to stick together. We need to come together because there are forces that would like to see us just stay separated, kill each other, and evaporate. So I just wanted to say that.
Shalom, shalom. I appreciate your calling, and I know his family and friends appreciate those words of wisdom that you left with us, brother. They were very encouraging. And yes, we did lose a good soldier.
My gracious, yes.
The
yes.
Black community has just lost a very, good soldier.
Oh, wow.
And I know he appreciate what he hears you saying right now.
Praise Yah.
Praise Almighty Yah.
All right, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. And if anyone wants to call in with anything, any questions about anything, about death, period, about anything they want to talk about, they can call in tonight at 749-1230 The Buzz. Right now, we're going right to Sister Tanya. Yes.
Hello.
Shalom. How are you?
Fine. How you doing today?
Fine.
Okay. My question is,
turn down your radio a little bit. I'm getting a loud backfeed, please. Hello? Just wanted you to turn your radio down. I hope I didn't discourage you from just hanging up. But let me go right to Miss Johnson. Miss Johnson.
Hi, Brother Israel. How are you?
Yes, how are you?
I just want to say, you know, it's a sad day that we lost two brothers, not just one, two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they both was fighting for a cause. And I just hope that this is, you know, just a calling to say, let's just stop the violence. We had two brothers, two prominent brothers in the city of Cincinnati fighting for what was right. Not saying, not taking the sides, but I want to thank you for allowing us to air this on the radio and just ask, you know, that we please stop this violence in our city.
And what two brothers are this? Would you?
Well, the brother from Junebugs and then Kabaka, those two brothers, the Beatty family and the Bailey family. You know, this violence needs to stop. It hasn't hit our home yet, but eventually it will, with being an African-American in Cincinnati. It might not hit a son or a daughter or a brother or a sister, but it might do a niece or a nephew. And this violence really needs to stop. And God makes no mistakes. When it's time, it's time. But it is really time for the violence to stop. And that's all I want to say. I mean, I wish I can do more and say more, but I don't know more to say.
Well, you said what you wanted to, and we wanted to encourage you to say that. But I don't want you to knock nobody off before the time, and thus far that we only had one brother that's lost his life, that's gone, that's
but,
not here. That's,
but we
that's
have
all.
A brother that's spending the rest of his life in jail
well,
when he could be prominent on the street.
Well.
So it's two lives lost.
Yes, ma'am.
Whether it's in the living
right.
or not.
Okay.
And I want to thank you for allowing
yes,
me to speak.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, baby. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. All right. We want to call Sister Yvonne on the phone right now. Yes?
Now, shalom, Sister Eli.
Oh, Sister Eli.
Yes.
Okay.
Shalom, how are you today?
Excellent.
Good. I just want to
turn
give
down your radio, wait.
Okay, I sure will.
Yes?
I want to give condolencing to... Hello?
Yes, I'm
here. Okay.
Yes,
I didn't know if I got
yes.
cut off or what, but I wanted to give my condolences to the family of Kabaka. And, Yah is definitely the answer. I'm praying for the family, praying for our brothers and sisters, just hoping that they would choose Yah because Yah is truly the answer for the violence that's going on out here in society among black crime. It's pathetic. If we can just turn from our wicked ways and, you know, do the laws and the commandments and statutes of Yah, that will truly stop a lot of violence and evil that's going out in this world today.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That's what I want to say, and I want to thank and praise Yah for you, Murray, and praise and thank Yah for all the positive people that's shining their light so that everyone can see Yah and follow Yah's way. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Yes, I'm. We are giving this show and tonight on True for Tradition, in honor of the subject that we're speaking on, which is murder, and we're also talking about one of our beloved brothers that just passed, the General Kabaka Abba. I see that the news channel just got word that he's passed, and they're mentioning it now as I speak. But anyone that wants to call in to speak on anything tonight, they're more than welcome. We want to encourage our people to speak out on anything. We want to hear you and hear what you have to say about this subject or any subject whatsoever. If you're not pleased to talk about this subject, you can talk about what you want to talk about, and we will address that. But let me say something about our community. At this time, you have a lot of people that are bent on the destruction of our community. They're doing everything they can to bring our community down. And they don't know it. Many of them are fighting and working against themselves. When you sell drugs and dealing drugs to our people, you are destroying the community. You are doing what the white racists want you to do. Who do you think that allowed the drugs to come into the United States and go to the black community anyway? Who do you think that allowed these guns to be brought into our community for you all to start shooting each other anyway? Why do you think the crime in the black juvenile community has went up 45%? Have you noticed who's working a lot of the jobs that blacks used to previously be working on, all downtown, in the hotels, in the restaurant, on many of the construction sites? It used to be your brother. But where is he at today? You think he's sitting behind a computer somewhere with a tie on? No, he's not. He's unemployed. And unemployment of the black community has went up at an unprecedented rate. And it's going to continue because our people refuse to turn to the laws of the Most High. Our people refuse to come together and love one another as the Almighty's laws dictate. Look at the Mexicans, how they stole the page from our book. Now they're coming together, working together as a family, as a unit. and they are achieving a lot of goals because of the togetherness that the Almighty preached to you, that you don't and you refuse to keep. We're asking our people to return to the laws of the Most High. Christianity has not profited our people at all. If Christ was the answer, we would not have any problems at all. If Christ was the answer, our slave masters would have never introduced him to us in the first place. He was only introduced to us because they knew this was a way of controlling their colonial subjects. Why do you think that none of the words of Christ are words that bring the black community together? Why do you think that most preachers are not involved in the struggle with our people? They're not involved in the struggle of our people because their book does not teach that. Their book teaches that we should love our enemies and love them that despitefully use you. Their book teaches that they should turn the other cheek. And if you want to go to heaven and be with Christ, that you must suffer. That this is example that he left you to do. That book teaches that we should hate our mother and hate our father and hate our brothers, but only love our enemies. The Almighty's calling you to come to him. The Creator of the universe has a way out for you, and he keeps making a way out for you, but he cannot. And you will not find this way until you turn back to the Creator and love him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. And then and only then will you start loving your neighbor as yourself. And the love that we have has waxed cold. We are distant now because most of us are chasing the white man's money, and what we think the money can do for us. This money will cause you to kill your brother. This money will cause you to murder your brother. This money will cause you to lose all your values, all your good concepts of right and wrong, where you throw down the drain in search and in quest for this money. But man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Yahweh does man live. But we're going to talk some more of our brothers and sisters, and then we're going to keep talking to you. And you can call in at 749-1230. Right now we're going to Sister Robin. Sister
Hi.
Robin.
Hello, how you doing?
Yes.
Thank you for your show. I just want to give my condolences to Kabaka Abba family, the Bailey's family. I grew up with them. And I want to ask you to give me a scripture for forgiveness, because my brother was murdered in the 80s by another black man that was his friend. And I've just been trying to understand it for all these years. So how do you forgive like that? You know, I believe I forgive, but I never forget. I don't understand. Why are we doing this? And why it had to happen to him?
Well, it's ignorance that's in our community, and I would venture to say the death of General Kabaka Apa was a result of the love of money,
mm-hmm.
not the love of each other,
mm-hmm.
as we should.
Mm-hmm.
And had we loved each other and practiced this universal love of our community, we would not be killing each other at all.
No.
But the Creator says vengeance is his.
Yes.
And he's going to deal with situations. If he don't deal with it here, he will deal with it in the hereafter. But you can rest assured that Yah hears our cry.
Yes, I believe
and
that.
And he is going to deal with that situation.
I believe
and,
that.
And you carrying animosity and hatred around mm-hmm. all your life, all
mm-hmm.
it will do is end up destroying you.
Mm-hmm.
Some
mm-hmm.
things are too big for you, too big
yes,
for you to handle, and too big for you to carry alone. And all you can do is try to forget and forgive to the best of your ability
mm-hmm.
and put it in Almighty's hands.
Yes, I thank God. I thank
yes.
Yahweh for that, for letting me live with it, and I thank you. Thank you.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you
mm-hmm.
very much.
Bye-bye.
We really appreciate that call from my beloved sister. And I hope the call was made in sincerity, even though I heard some laughter as she was hanging up the phone. I hope it was done in sincerity. But I would like to focus on another scripture now. And that's back in the book of Psalms 127. According to Psalms 127, we start reading that the very first verse.
Except Yah build that house, they labor in vain that build it.
So I don't care how you get your money. It's not going to profit you. You might be running around with a big car now and a lot of money in your pocket now and have people looking up to you right now, but the house that you're building, if it's not establishing righteousness, it's not going to stand. It said, except Yahweh build a house, they labor in vain that built it. Except Yahweh keep the city, the watchman waited but in vain. And right here we see that Yah is not keeping the city of Cincinnati. Anytime a man can feel bold enough to go in broad daylight and shoot another man down in front of City Hall, well, he's very bold. He knows something that I don't know. Or he might know somebody that I don't know. But that's very bold. And I think a message was being sent that he's not worried about the people of Cincinnati prosecuting him because they might be very good friends with him. And by Joe Dedis charging a charge of felonious assault instead of attempted murder as it should be is a travesty of justice. It makes you wonder when you live in Cincinnati, is there going to be any justice here? We don't see none in sight. And to the strong men and strong women of Cincinnati, stand up and be accounted for. And it's going to take more than one, like General Kabaka. It's going to take a community to stand up on their feet. And it's going to take a community to start crying out. And that's not being done right now. I'd like to read something in the book of Proverbs, the second chapter. We want to go there for a second. If anybody wants to join us, they can call in at 749-1230. We're going to go to Proverbs, the 29th chapter. And before we start reading, we're going to go to another caller for a minute. Brother Shaka. Shalom.
Oh, shalom, brothers. Brother Shakur.
Shakur, excuse me.
Oh, no problem, brother. Hey, I just want to say, first of all, send all my deepest sympathy out to Kabaka and his family. And, you know, may the brother be at peace where he's going now, man, because even though I didn't agree with a lot of his tactics, I had to respect him, man. I thought he was a bold brother, and I thought he was sincere, and he believed in what he did. And sometimes, you know, Malcolm said it best, you know, you got to respect people like that regardless what side of the fence you on. And from what you just said, man, and I'm talking about the whole thing, how you just broke it down with the prosecutor and the situation, I want to thank you, man, and I hope that the Most High keep you, you know, where he got you at, and that you keep on just speaking the truth regardless who come up against you, man. I hope you just, you know, go out this world just speaking the truth, man, because, you know, brothers like you, you know, I don't always agree with everybody. I don't think it's going to be nobody on this earth that I'm always agree with, but for brothers just to stand up, man, just take a stand, you know, and that's what you're doing, man. I appreciate this show, man. I'm sorry that the brother had to leave this world like this, man, but I know he got a lot of angels around him because the brother did a lot that a lot of people don't even know about, man. The brother, you know, he took stands that, you know, I mean, if we be honest with ourselves, a lot of us wouldn't even do it. You know, I went down and checked him out in front of the police memorial. You know, that was some bold stuff that the brother was doing. A lot of people thought he was just doing it to get attention. But, you know, if you're doing something that he ain't doing, then if you believe in what you're doing, keep on doing it. But, you know, we always used to sit around and knock that. But now, before I hang up, I want to ask the question to all them soldiers out there. Who going to be in the light now? Who going to stand up now? Who going to be bodacious like that? You know, because ain't none of us promised the next day. So, you know, he showed that he lived and died in what he believed in. And that's why I got to take my hat off to the man. That's why I'm hoping the Most High put angels around the brother, man. And that's why I'm hoping the Most High put angels around the brother's family, man, because he got that coming in my heart, man.
Yes, and I agree with every word that you said, every word that you said, which remind me of the verse that I was going to read in Proverbs 29th chapter. The second verse says,
when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear fruit, the people mourn.
And that's why they're mourning today. It is the wicked that's bearing rule in the city and in the earth. But in behalf of General Karaka, I would also like to read the 25th verse. The 24th and the 25th verse, because it reminds me of him.
Whoso is a partner with a thief hateth his own soul. He heareth cursing and bereaveth it not.
Yes, and whosoever is a partner with a thief, he hates his own soul, and he will bring destruction to himself. And then the 25th verse says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. General Kabaka didn't fear no man.
Exactly.
He had feared the Most High only.
Exactly.
He said, the fear of man bringing a snare, but whosoever puts his trust in Yahweh shall be safe.
Exactly. You
yes,
know,
sir.
You saying that, and before I let go, you just jog my memory. It's some old footage of El Shabazz, Malcolm X, and they was asking him, like, towards the end when it was getting real hot for him. They said, well, why you don't want your bodyguards no more? And you know what the brother said, man? He said, because when they want you, he said, ain't nobody going to protect you. He said, so I don't need them, because whoever coming to get me, they going to get me. He said, when the devil wants you, he wants you. So, you know, I say that to say that with the brother, man. I mean, he didn't need the bodyguards. The man went wherever he wanted by himself or with his people that was down with him. But for the most part, he didn't believe in having no protection, man. He was his protection, man, him and the Most High, as you say, man. So, you know, I felt compelled that I had to cut it all in and bear witness to that brother, man, because, I mean,
well,
I want to know who's going to stand up now. And, you know, I have a good friend that works over at Rashida that used to patronize your barbershop, little light-skinned brother Raheem, and he, you know, was telling me about your old days. So when people talk about you and when you talk about the things, you're talking about the trials and tribulation, they got to understand you went through a lot, and that's why you're in a position now, because you done seen that other side of the grass, and you know it ain't green over there doing the wrongs, trying to get where you want to go. That's why I guess at some point in your life you say, hey, I'm going to give it all up to the Most High and go that way. And, you know, that's why things going the way they're going for you now. You know, so I do know that little part of your history, and I know you are a brother who went through trials and tribulations to stand up and try something right.
Well, I need you to tell me about it. You might know something I don't know.
Nah, that's on you, brother. That one thing about me, I try not to put nobody's business in the street.
Well, maybe
now
You'll let me know it. At least two of us will know it then. Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm coming back along.
Yes, sir. Right now, we're going to go right to... We appreciate that call. We're going right to Brother Anthony. Yes, Brother Anthony.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
I just joined the house. Well, I just learned about the House of Israel a long time ago, like a couple months ago. And I'm really interested. I'm very happy that I'm in the House of Israel, man. I'm sorry what happened to the man who died today, man.
Yes.
The wind is blowing, man.
Yes.
The Ford, Roman Empire is blowing real hard, man. And I'm just sick of this world today, so full of hatred and stuff, man.
Well, you can make a change.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Because I'm 18, right?
It starts with you. That's
it is.
Right.
It just starts with our young people today.
Yes.
Because our young people,
It starts with you. And then
it does.
And then it goes to them. Charity begins at home and spreads abroad. It don't start with the young. It starts with you.
Mm-hmm.
See, a good teacher is known by his actions. And it's best to teach by example. And if you see you living a certain way, then they can at least have a role model. That's the reason I said it starts with you. The Creator said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And they reject knowledge. And so we got to carry the platoon and hope the kids grab it. But right now, we're not doing everything that we should.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
That's very true.
All right.
Thank you very much, sir.
You're very, very welcome.
Thank you. Y'all's righteous.
Y'all's righteous. Shalom, let's go to beneath the surface. Let's go to beneath the surface and see who's beneath the surface that want to talk. Yes.
Shalom, all right.
Shalom.
Hey, I just, I've been listening for a long time, and I just want to stress the fact to the people that's listening that, the blessings and the curses of the Most High Law is just so real out here that it's just obedience to the Most High, submitting to the Most High. It's just you can find light at the end of the tunnel for anyone that's listening. And it's just it's just so real to understand the Mosaic laws or the laws that the Most High put before man in Ecclesiastes 12. I was just hoping that you and the brother would read that just to reemphasize that to the people that the law is, that's all it is. It's honoring the law and the precepts and the statutes of the Most High Yahweh, the great Most High Yahweh, the merciful Most High Yahweh. Shalom, shalom, and I love you, Moray.
Thank you, and I love you too, brother.
Peace.
Shalom. Or serving Christ at all. If it's a commandment, it's not of Yah. Because Yah only commands us to obey him and to give service and honor to him and to worship him and him alone. Right now, we're going to go to Brother Paul. Brother Paul.
Shalom. How you doing, Alicia?
Excellent.
I hear a lot of people on the radio, they're talking about how we lost two good brothers. My whole thing behind that is, what I'm not understanding is it gives you in the one of the commandments is thou shalt not kill, which in actuality is thou shalt not murder.
That's true.
Now, if you it's okay to kill someone in defense, but how does the Most High view people who murder people? Because I feel that this is not a good brother if he murdered somebody.
Yes.
If he wasn't defending himself, I feel that he wasn't all that of a great brother to go out and murder somebody like that. That's my whole thing. And I keep hearing people say
that's part of the madness in the black community.
Right.
Everybody's a good brother, and everybody's
right.
not.
Because
the man that's selling drugs to your son, that's a good brother. The man that's tricking your daughter, that's a good brother.
Mm-hmm.
The man that's shooting his own his brother, that's a good brother. No,
mm-hmm.
they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that somebody had some sanity to bring that on, but I'm letting everybody speak their peace in their mind, and
right.
this is what I'm hearing, but I'm glad that you challenged that position, because
right,
I agree
right.
with
I
you 100%, Bob.
I had to come on and challenge it, because I kept
Thank
hearing
you.
That, and he murdered a man, and it wasn't, he didn't kill him in defense or anything, he was protecting or anything,
right.
like. He murdered him over maybe some ridiculous, silly words, or something to that effect. He
yes.
murdered a man. He was not a good brother. This is my opinion.
Yes.
And I don't think he was a good. And as far as the scriptures go, one of the commandments, he broke one of a very important commandment, I feel.
Yes.
And I don't think really the Most High is going to view him as a good brother.
No, you're absolutely right.
What I was wanted to kind of ask, I guess, how does the Most High view that as, murdering someone?
Well,
as far as.
Well, it's an abomination.
Mm-hmm.
It was a death sentence.
Mm-hmm.
That was a capital punishment. It's created, that's one of his first commandments in the book of Genesis 9:6. He said, whosoever
mm-hmm.
shed his man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for the image of Elohim made he man.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all through the book. Don't take no person's life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were defending yourself and a man had a machete on you, then that's not murder. That's manslaughter.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
a man walking down the street and being ambushed, and man jump out on him and
mm-hmm.
and start shooting him, that's no justification mm-hmm.
That was a very cowardly act.
He did not create no man.
Mm-hmm.
That was an act of cowardness.
Mm-hmm. It was a cowardly act. And yeah. I think the only reason he did it that way is because I honestly believe in a hand-to-hand combat, there's no way he could have did anything with Kabaka Abba. It was a very cowardly act. But that's all I wanted to comment on.
All right, brother. I appreciate you calling, Brother Paul.
Okay, shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Right now, we're going right to Brother John. Brother John.
How you doing there?
Yes.
Good. I heard that talk show you was talking about up on the Dow the other day, and you're right. Some guys sitting up there and pretty much making fun, and, you know, they show very little sorrow and remorse, and, you know, they talking about he shot himself and, you know, ridiculous stuff.
Yes.
And all that station does up there is try to, it's what we call hate talk.
That's all that station about, 24 hours a day with hate talk against our people and belittling our people. And if they can get a couple of so-called black men to come in there and show how big a fool they are by continuing that madness towards one another, they would love it. And a white racist in Cincinnati had a ball the other day listening to that mess.
And
do you think two Klansmen would be on the bus calling in talking about what they did to each other?
No.
That's part of the madness of our people.
And not only that, even in the morning on that same station, they got another bus driver guy up there. He just makes a fool of himself. I can't think of his name right now, but he makes a fool of himself. And they talked about Kabaka Abba this morning. They did all kind of silly sound clips with his voice in the background and, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, Kabaka Abba is one of the kind of guys, either you loved him or you hate him. That's pretty much what it was. And this city, they're going to be a dark cloud over this city tomorrow for Easter, and that's really a shame. So I wanted to tell you, just keep the good work up, and may God bless you and Kabaka Abba also.
Thank you, Reverend. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
Right now, we're going right to Brother Aaron. Yes, sir.
Yes, shalom.
Shalom.
How you feeling, Murray?
Excellent.
Yes, under the circumstances. First, give condolences to our dearly departed brother, Kabaka.
Yes, yes.
And extend our well wishes to his family.
Yes, absolutely.
But, brother, I wanted to read something.
Left behind is all.
Yeah. of Yahweh is flawless. Every word of Yahweh is flawless. Flawless.
Oh, Heavenly Father, how great Thou art.
He made the trees so high,
and the mountains.
Great is the glory of Yah.